Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on this Monday as we're here at the Chateau. No better place in the world to do a show. The Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And on Monday, I can't say enough good things about the Purdy's, their employees, great people. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Your needs are the single most important thing to them, and they try to make sure that you get rates and craft insurance to fit exactly your needs. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to PurdyInsurance.com. We have the national and international award winner, Kevin Herr, who just won an Academy Award for Best Performance as a Sportscaster.
Awesome.
And the brains of the operation, Bob Buhner.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
I'll trade brains for the Academy Award. I'm fine with that.
I'm just the humble facilitator of the show.
Kevin is also going to enter his award-winning call of the high school basketball championship game to the Samoan School of Broadcasting out in the South Pacific to see if he can garner international awards.
Hey, listen.
The Samoans are keen on this.
You know what? And if they like me there, do you know what they don't get there that we get here?
What's that?
Snow.
They get no snow in Samoa. They do not, but their primary
so
export
bitter about everything.
Yeah, their primary bitter. Export, Kevin, is rugby players. By the way, they have nothing else there. It's
I'll learn the sport
exactly. So I'm working right now as Kevin's agent to submit that, and then after that, it's the
Australian rules football
exactly.
Okay,
and then we're going to get Kevin announcing cricket.
Well, our good friend, our brother in arms here,
yes,
Kevin Herr, who has already won the Pennsylvania Association of Broadcasters 2014 award, has come right back and has won the Associated Press statewide award as well. And we are proud as can be to call him friend and proud as can be to work with him and appreciate all of his accomplishments.
Thank you very much. I haven't stopped smiling.
No, he hasn't, and nor should he.
Yeah, okay. Well, all right.
Yes.
I'll tell you right now, there was a moment there I almost cracked, Bob.
I was wondering if you were all right. Listen, and like I said last hour, it is not by any means just me. I have some great producers that work back in the studio to help out, Dave Ritchie.
That's right. It is the chief, Dave Ritchie, that is there.
Blah, 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 blah.
Hey, Steve, one.
There's a little jealousy in that voice, isn't there, Bob?
There is. Steve, the one news of item that
okay.
I knew he couldn't stop.
He couldn't stop. Now
no
you got
way.
Him.
There's no way you could avoid that.
One news item that Cody Jay just reported on in the 4 o'clock local news, and it bears some interest here and throughout Pennsylvania, is the judge in the Curly Spanier Schultz criminal prosecution by the Attorney General gave an interview maybe the end of last week, and judges don't give interviews. I guess that's the one thing you would say. But he did, and he was rather cryptic, saying that he was going to be making some rulings, if you will, sooner rather than later in order to move the criminal trial against the three accused Penn State officials back on track. There are an incredible amount of legal issues outstanding that he needs to decide before this case goes to trial. And he was signaling he's going to be doing that. So that has the legal community all a-twitter over what's going to happen. And a couple of these rulings involve a former Supreme Court justice who was the legal counsel for Penn State, who may or may not be in a whole world of trouble with the disciplinary board over what she did. It involves a case that arose out of Philadelphia with a Catholic priest who was convicted by a jury, and the Superior Court overturned the jury verdict with regard to certain charges that are also applicable to the Spaniard-Schultz-Curley case. So people are really talking about this, and it will obviously get Penn State officials and the whole Sandusky case back in the news, I think, toward the end of summer. But the rulings may come out in the next couple weeks. And everyone, because there are huge legal issues in the legal community in Pennsylvania, is really waiting for this.
Okay.
So that's something that's going to go on.
And since we have Bob in the studio, now we could talk legal. Go ahead, Steve. What were you going to say there?
We'll talk off the air in the next break. All right.
I had one quick question for Bob.
Okay.
Oh, this has to do with, obviously, some legal thing Kevin's involved in. Go ahead.
Kevin, listen, here's my advice.
No, it's now free legal advice. Yeah. Look, Kevin, just settle.
Yeah, pay the speeding ticket,
pay the
Kevin.
Ticket?
Yeah,
right,
please.
All right. Well, actually, this does involve a speeding ticket. Not mine, ironically enough. But
yeah. Some guy you know who remained anonymous. Yeah.
Well, the Browns wide receiver Josh Gordon was pulled over on Memorial Day.
Yes.
And given a speeding ticket. And there was marijuana in the vehicle.
Right.
This brings up the controversy that the NFL has over their drug policy and marijuana on the drug policy. In states where it's legal, let's say Colorado, if you're a Denver Bronco in Colorado and you're smoking marijuana, I'm not saying any of them do, but I'm just in a hypothetical, it's legal there but not legal in the NFL.
But it legal.
Yeah,
in,
but yeah, they can still fine them and suspend them,
right?
Because they're part of the NFL Players Association, and they have agreed between the two sides as a member of the union of the NFLPA and the league. Thus, they are bound by that and not by state law.
And I understand that. My question is that going to change?
How did I do, Bob?
You did excellent.
How did I do, Bob?
Steve, you know, it's amazing, and I've told you this off the air. They do have a law school at Penn State real near to where you are, and I'm surprised they haven't got your degree yet because
And unfortunately, that came into focus the last 2 days.
Yes.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, really
with the
did.
Death of Lewis Katz, yeah.
Oh, yeah, big time. He, you know, he wrote a check for $25 million to my alma mater to really build the building that is now the Penn State Dickinson School of Law, which is where I normally park. Go ahead.
The plane crash happened literally 5 miles from my godmother's house.
Yeah, right.
It was that's where Hanscom Field's in Lexington. My mother used to work at Hanscom. My mother used to work at Hanscom Field.
And the plane never got off the ground, is what I understand.
Right.
And
exactly.
Interestingly enough, former Governor Rendell was invited to go up with Lou Katz and several other people. They were there in Massachusetts for a lecture by the award-winning historian Doris Kearns Goodwin, who writes
Goodwin,
and they went up for that just for the day and night, and were on their way back, and when the plane crashed. But Ed Rendell had been invited, but he had another engagement, and Ed frequently used the Katz airplane, the one that crashed,
right,
in his travel. Yes, so it would have been something really huge.
Yeah. Now let's get to the Kevin Druggy issue. Kevin's like, don't phrase it that way.
Yeah, let's rephrase that quickly, please.
Rephrase what?
No, it's what it is.
I'm not, Kevin, don't like the wording on that.
Kevin says that if he moves to Colorado and is in the NFL, is he bound by NFL rules?
Let me just say it a different way for Kevin and others. If the NFL said in their contract and collective bargaining agreement with the NFL Players Association that you could not have carrots in your system, even though carrots are a legal vegetable, well, guess what? You can't have carrots. You can't eat carrots if you're a member of the NFL Players Association, if that's what the rules say. It's just that simple.
Listen, I'm not saying this is not a judgment on marijuana use at all, but my question is this: is it really a performance-enhancing drug? From what I've been told, it doesn't really enhance anybody's performance on the football field. So, is it something the NFL is going to have to look at, Steve, in the next collective bargaining agreement?
It's irrelevant.
Yeah, it really is.
It's still, and part of it is that it's legal in what, Washington State, Colorado,
kinda, yep.
Is Okay. Any place else?
California, is it?
No.
They had looked at it, but that didn't pass. Okay.
Right. I mean, so now you have 48 states where it's still an illegal drug.
Yeah. Except right. for Key West, Florida, so, I think.
So, right. But the NFL is still going to look at it as an illegal drug.
Yeah.
Okay? It's performance enhancing. It doesn't matter if it's performance enhancing or not. It's still illegal. Yeah. You get arrested. That's still drugs in your system.
Yep. Heroin is definitely not a performance enhancer, but you can't have that either.
Excellent point.
So,
yeah. In fact, I was literally, Bob, I was about to say the exact same thing. Yeah. Literally. I mean,
that's because you and I
use hair.
Yep. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I was going to literally say exactly the same example. Heroin. Same as you.
Yep. So, it is what it is. There actually, I think in the policy, there are several categories of drugs that the NFL talks about. One being performance enhancing, and the other being just basically controlled substances. That are of the narcotic type variety. So, and one's
right.
just
so, I mean, that, yeah. So it's irrelevant whether it's legal in the state, Kevin. It is a negotiated settlement between the players' union. It's the same thing. If, for example, there is a Ford plant in Colorado and the United Auto Workers have negotiated in their agreement with the Ford Motor Company, the union personnel that, you know, say, for example, marijuana use, da 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 da. Okay, guess what? Okay, it's the same thing.
Yep.
Interesting.
No difference. Now here, I want to talk about the Redskins thing in a moment, but let's take a break.
Yes.
We'll come back with more. Good question, Kevin. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
Even when they grow up, your kids can still surprise you. My son calls to tell me he bought his first new car. Picked the make, model, and dealer all by himself. And negotiated his own deal. But when it came to insuring his new ride, he wanted Dad's advice. I told him one word. Selective. They've always done right by me. It's nice to know you're still needed.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
All right, welcome back. Since we have Bob Buhner with us today, and we're talking about several legal issues, not the least of which that the 7 or 8 that Kevin have been solved off the air.
Yeah, it's relieved me a lot.
I had to rewrite the will during the last break.
Yeah, I understand that. You know, plus there was that thing about the hail and about fraud and whatever. Don't worry about that. We'll get that solved too.
And by the way, Steve, you're in the will. I got you. I slipped you in.
Well done, man. That's great. He did a little Radar O'Reilly job, and they'll never know.
Exactly.
All right, let's get to the Redskins part of it. All right, 49 U.S. senators signed this deal, which is about, you know, which is worth about as much as a piece of paper you scribble on. And it's just a question, as we all know, politically, everybody's just trying to cover their backside all the time and not really take a, you know, not actually do something about it. So my respect for that is just, there is none. But when it comes to the name, now we know the NFL awards franchises, and we talked about this in the Clippers case. You know, what is the business? Is it the NFL or is the business the Redskins, a division of the NFL? Well, the way they're looking at it is that, look, Dan Snyder owns the team. It's up to him as to what they call the team. All right. So take us through legally where the NFL, if they actually can do something, because they've already had two high executives say, well, no, it's actually a matter of honor, which, okay. And Redskins fans will tell you, do not change the name. Okay. The Redskins fans, to almost a person will tell you, don't change the name and don't cave in. So take us legally through what can and can't be done.
Well, I did get a news flash earlier today that the Redskins are changing the name because they're deleting Washington because too many people in the country find it offensive. They're just going to be known as the Redskins from now on.
That's right. Yeah, I heard that too.
That I agree with.
Yeah, exactly. So I think they're on safe ground there. The owner of the team owns the copyright and the trademark related to the name and all the logos. It is not part of the NFL owning it. They have to go by certain guidelines of the NFL, and there are licensing agreements among and between all the teams for the logos and the names. But that is an individual property right that is owned by the team or the team's owner. That's number one. So I think legally only the team owner can change the name. And I think if they do, there is some provision in the bylaws that a name change must be approved by either the executive committee of the NFL or the ownership committee, you know, just to avoid things like brand confusion, infringement of copyrights, that one copyright is too close to another, etc. But the NFL can give control, say, a new team, a new franchise, and what they call themselves and what the logo looks like. But as it regards the Redskins, they own it. It's theirs. They can do with it as they please. That's right. Kind of long and short of it.
So he's the only one that can really change it. The league really has to stay out of it in this regard.
Yeah,
right?
they don't own it. Now, what they can do is, you know, kind of do the subtle pressure among all the owners, which are really the NFL is comprised of the individual owners. They control the NFL, which, by the way, has the most amazing thing. The NFL Inc. Incorporated is actually a non-profit corporation. They don't pay taxes, among other things. That's pretty wild when you think about it. So
the TV networks know it's nonprofit?
Apparently they didn't get that memo. But they are nonprofit in the same the same way large hospitals are, museums are, et cetera, they are a nonprofit corporation. A lot of people don't know that. So therefore what they do with their income is, of course, they spread it out to the team. So in one sense, at the end of the fiscal year of the company, they have no profit to pay tax on in that sense. But they are nonprofit. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be, yeah, this whole thing with the political powers trying to influence it, it is surprising in one sense the other owners have not, you know, quietly said something. But then think of it this way. The Green Bay Packers, you know, the PETA people, the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. We can't have Packers. Well, that's meat packers. We're against meat. You could go around. The Vikings offend, the caricatures of people from Sweden. Where does it stop? And I think that's what the NFL owners are afraid of. Today it's Redskins. You know, the Eagles are an endangered speaker, etc. So, species. Right. So I think everybody fears in one way or another they're vulnerable. So put all the burden on the owner, Snyder, the owner himself.
Okay. What about an Indian tribe suing them? I'm just throwing
that's
that
a
out
good
there.
One. It's interesting because down in Florida, there's a team at Florida State called the Seminoles, And they have the right to use that name because the tribe of the Seminoles finds that the university is representing them in an honorable way. But the Redskins is a generic name. So you could have the Cherokee tribe from Oklahoma, the Sioux from New Mexico and Arizona on opposite sides fighting over who is a Redskin. And that is one of the problems of that because it's such a generic name. And I don't know that anybody could really, you know, come in and say they're talking about my tribe, and so I think that. Although I think some creative, clever group of people wanting to make a buck may try it, but it's going to be very difficult.
Yeah, but that because he steadfastly, Dan Snyder says no, and he is well within his rights to say no. That it's his team, he owns it, and his fan base. Is also emphatically telling him, "Don't do it."
Well, then you know the next
that's his consumer, and I find that interesting as well. So I mean, there's more to this than I'm offended.
Yeah,
they've got a fan base that's saying, "Hey, look, you know, we buy it. We're not offended."
Yep. And think of the Atlanta Braves and the Tomahawk Chop, and when you think that Ted Turner at one time owned them, and he was married to Jane Fonda, who's as left wing as you get. And the Braves were one thing, and the Redskins are different. I don't understand the difference, you know. And the logos are kind of similar. They depict American Indians. So, you know, where does the craziness stop?
All right, bottom of the hour news. We're going to bring Bob back for a little bit more. We're going to talk briefly with Charlie Fisher about the Forsman Tournament coming up in July. Charlie's now the associate head coach and works with the wide receivers at Richmond. Charlie Fisher, former Nittany Lion assistant coach, will be joining us at 4:35, and then Bob, Kevin, and I will round it out. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We're at the Chateau, the Sunbury Motor Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And very pleased to be joined by someone that I will forever call a good friend. Charlie Fisher, associate head coach and in charge of the wide receivers at Richmond, who has a big event coming up in our area next month. Charlie, welcome back, my friend. It's great to hear from you.
Well, I tell you what, nothing better for this day to me to have a chance to talk to Steve Jones, the best voice in college football, hands down.
Well, it's very kind of you, Charlie. Hey, first of all, before we get to the tournament, which is so important, you landed in a great spot. Tell us a little bit about Richmond and about the program you're now part of there.
Well, Richmond, you know, obviously in the CAA, so we're a FCS program, a lot of tradition here, but on both sides. Obviously, I think most people know this is a tremendous school academically. Steve, it probably parallels, my time at Vanderbilt. Years, very similar to Vanderbilt in the approach, the ideals, all the things that this school embodies from an academic standpoint and recruiting student athletes. And then at the same time, this has been a tremendous program over the last 15 years. Five or six CAA championships, a national championship in 2008. So it's a school that embodies both sides of it. And like I said, it's very similar to my time at Vanderbilt, recruiting the same type of player in many ways.
Now, also at Vanderbilt, you did a lot of work in the passing game with wideouts, Earl Bennett. Yeah. You know, you worked with Jay Cutler, so forth. Now you're back working with wideouts again. Tell me, for you, what do you love about working with the nuts and bolts of the passing game?
Just the precision, the timing, all the little detailed things that take place. And, you know, I've been fortunate, Steve. I've been on, you know, I tell everybody, I go back and forth. You know, one job I'm a quarterback coach, the next job I'm a wideout coach, which has been fantastic for me to see it from, you know, really from both lenses, from the guy catching it to the guy throwing it. And that's been a unique experience. The other thing that's been unique for me, I've been blessed to be around some great players on both ends. And guys that can really throw it and some guys that could really catch it and do something with it in their hands. And we're fortunate here. We've got a good passing game. You know, last year they lit it up throwing the ball. And, you know, I just was fortunate enough to come from Penn State with two kids that threw it pretty darn good themselves. And, of course, everybody knows about Cutler and what he could do throwing the ball. And so I've been blessed that way. And it's a lot of fun. You know, when you see that ball, when you see the precision, the detail, all of it come together, it's pretty neat.
Penn State fans will want to know your perspective on the growth of Christian Hackenberg. Where was he better in October and November compared to September?
Just being able to the decision making, the speed of the game. Everybody talks about this. Does the game start to slow down? But I tell you, with Christian now, he came out of the gate and had a pretty darn good game against Syracuse. But his growth as the game went on, as the season wore on, just to be able to slow the game down, to process the information. You know, Steve, he's got a gifted arm. He's a gifted player. You couldn't ask for a better young man to coach. He loves football. He works at it. He's smart. He's tough. And he's got an NFL-ready arm and an NFL body. So, you couldn't ask a young man to do any more than he did. He'll continue to do those things. The staff there now will do a great job with him, continue to develop him. Let's put it this way, Steve. He was a lot of fun to be around every day.
I bet. Now, for you as a coach, everyone has their own area that they really like. What did you prefer, the classroom where you could sit down and break down nuts and bolts, or see it come to fruition on a practice field?
Probably on the practice field. You know, I'm not a quiet guy on the field. You know, I like talking it out. I like, you know, just that ongoing communication and engagement that goes on with the field. I love that with the quarterbacks. But you really have the same thing with the wide receivers, just a little bit different venue because they're on the outside, not in the pocket. But those are things I just like the engagement with the player. Now, that being said, the classroom is the first step. But we all know when they take it to the field, that's really where it gears up a notch. And you know, just some of the guys I've been for, you know, like a guy like Torrey Holt, who I was with at NC State.
Yes.
What a practice player! What a guy who just embraced greatness, whether it was on the practice field, game day, in the classroom. I tell you, when he went on the field, he'd teach you what practice was all about.
And, you know, Penn State had a guy like that in Bobby Engram. Bobby Engram acted as if every practice day was the game. And it just blows you away.
Absolutely. Torrey would get mad at me if I took him out of rep. I said, T, we're just trying to save your legs a little bit here. He said, I don't need to be saved. He said, I just want to keep getting better. He was, you know, and I think if you looked at the parallel, those are two great NFL players. And
exactly.
There's no mystery there why guys become great. And that's the thing, you know, Hackenberg Christian loved to practice. And I will say this, the guy, you know, that had for a year before him, Matt McGloin, you couldn't ask for a guy like to compete anymore in the practice field. You know, gee whiz, if he didn't complete an 18-yard comeback right in the money, he was just, you know, he was fiery. He didn't like that, you know. And that's what you want in a player. You want a guy that cares about the reps. He cares about getting it done.
We're with Charlie Fisher, and I can tell everyone firsthand, I don't want to embarrass Charlie with this, but firsthand, after watching him every day for 2 years, this is one heck of a teacher. You are one heck of a good teacher. So it's Richmond's
well,
lucky to have
you. Well, that's awfully kind of you. I tell everybody, those 2 years, I wouldn't trade them for anything. I loved it. Everybody knows I'm a Central Pennsylvania guy. Always will love Penn State, always pull for Penn State, and those kids that I was fortunate to be around for 2 years will all, you know, be special to all of us. I mean, obviously. And I, you know, before I move on to the tournament, I just want to say, Steve, obviously it was a sad day for us all last week to see retirement of Spider. And, if Spider's listening, I want to give him a big shout-out because absolutely one of the finest gentlemen I've ever been around and really embodies what Penn State football is all about.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Let's talk about the golf tournament for a moment.
Yep.
It's going to be, the third year that you've had this, I believe. And, of course, it's a touching tribute to a great guy that meant a lot to you, which is what this, you know, and the money goes exactly where it needs to go. It goes to young people.
Well, that's right. This is year three. And you know, when we kind of started this, it was with a vision that we could honor, you know, Rick Forsman, his family, who's tremendously involved in this tournament. You know, Rick was my close friend growing up. I felt like this was a way for all of us, not just me. We've got a board. We've got a tremendous group of people associated with this tournament. Steve, we raised, you know, close to $23,000 just in 2 years. We've given that all right back into the community. To our young people there where we grew up. And it's really been neat to see the growth. We're actually going to two flights this year. We had to turn some people away last year. And one of the unique things about this has been the Penn State, all the former players, the guys that I've gotten to know, former people that I've coached, just the connections I've made in the business over 34 years. We just get a lot of neat memorabilia back to get it signed. And, man, I'll tell you what, you know, but golfers love that kind of stuff, you know. So they come in and have a great day playing golf. We raise funds through auctions. You know, this year we got John Cappelletti signed on his jersey. So what a neat thing there. We got Mike Mowdy on a Vikings jersey, which is really cool. We got Kelly Mazzani, Larry Fitzgerald, Jordan Matthews, who I coached at Vanderbilt, was drafted by the Eagles. Could go on and on about the people we got. We got a bunch of NASCAR stuff. So it's really grown. It's a pretty neat event. And we got a lot of great people put a lot of hard work into it. And we want people to come out. We want them to have a great day, but we want them to give and give back to the community because it's really a great cause. And it gives us a chance to honor Rick and what he really, you know, embodied, his love for youth and coaching youth.
Give us the date and also a way that people can enter.
Yeah, the date is July 11, and the easiest thing, Steve, is I'm going to give the email and the phone number here, but Ed Reeser, who is my relation, he's my cousin. Ed is at the tip of the spear on this end of it as far as handling all the entry forms, the donors. We have whole sponsors, but Ed's email is ed.reeser@gmail.com. That's ed.reeser@gmail.com. And his phone number, 570-412-0206. And Ed is tremendous at handling this end of it. He's done a great job. He has worked just tireless hours to make this thing happen, as our whole board has. So it's been a neat cause. And if anybody cannot get a hold of Ed, all they got to do is get a hold of me. And I'm sure they can do that through the radio. Anybody you talk to that needs to get a hold of me, just have them reach out to me. Because we want players. We're expanding the field, and we want players, and we've got a lot of sponsors. You know, we have different levels of sponsorships on the whole, Steve. So it's really been good, and we want to keep growing. We want to keep making this a special event.
It has already become a special event, and Charlie, we'll keep getting the word out about it for July 11th. Thanks so much for the time you gave us. And as I said, you and I will forever be friends. The 2 years you were here is something that certainly made an impression on me.
I very much appreciate it, Steve. You've been the best. And like I say, you can rest assured that, you know, I'll always be pulling for Lions, and I wish them all the best this fall. And the Spiders, we'll get this thing rolling. We got a nice team coming back. We got a Penn State guy that's our head football coach, the Rocco family. He's got deep Penn State ties. So I think that's a pretty good match.
Saw Grandpa Frank yesterday, as a matter of fact.
Amen. Amen. He's got the ties to Penn State.
Yeah. All right. Hey, thanks so much, Charlie. It's great catching up with you.
Oh, absolutely, Steve. You have a blessed day now, and thanks, thanks for allowing me to come on.
All right. Charlie Fisher, Central Pennsylvania's own Associate Ed coach and wide receiver coach at Richmond. July 11th is the Forsman Tournament. We'll come back. Wrap it up in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, Bob. The award winner was whining, moaning, and complaining about how high the press box is at Holy Cross, which, by the way, unfortunately for him, I've been to.
Yeah,
I can tell you right now, it's not quite the Prudential Center.
First off, I said Holy Cross has no lights. So if you play them later in the season, like November, they have to start the game at 12:30 so they can get it in before dark. And I said, by the end of the game, it does get a little challenging to see the field.
Kevin.
It's a football field.
It's November 15th. It's not December 15th.
I know that, but it still gets dark around 6 o'clock at that point. I mean, I think sunset's like 6 o'clock at that point.
Okay, okay. How many overtimes are you anticipating?
Hopefully zero.
Yeah.
Hey, come on.
Hey, Steve, one of the things I with Charlie Fisher, he didn't mention because he's a modest guy, but he's a proud graduate of the Warrior Run High School. He's a defender from right up the Turbotville, Watsontown area. He's done pretty well for himself, to put it mildly.
He sure has.
What a
done
nice
very
guy.
Very well for himself.
What a nice guy.
He's great, great guy, and have you on the show. That's two great guys on the show today.
Yeah, out of three. That's not bad. Two out of three. If you could do that, you'd be in the Hall of Fame, hitting 66%.
I mean, you know, Kevin's kind of humble pied the AP award thing. But, I mean, to keep playing Freddie Mercury and We Are the Champions during the breaks,
yeah.
I mean, it's kind of wearing on Bob and me a little
bit. Is it too much? Did I go over the board there?
Not for the first hour, but the second hour, right. Yeah.
It's just starting to wear, okay?
Yeah.
By the way, I do have both of your I Know Kevin Hurt t-shirts ready to go if you'd like them. You can wear them proudly.
You know what we need to
do? No, that's great because I have to wax my car.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, you know what we need to do, Steve, is get the chief, Dave Ritchie, and get his version of this award, you know, what he thinks about it.
Well, I'll wear the I Know Dave Ritchie t-shirt.
Yeah. Proudly.
While I take the Kevin Hurt t-shirt and wax.
Yeah. Actually, I'd wear the I Know Dave Ritchie t-shirt as well. He's the only guy I know that I can go to even my alma mater or my neck of the woods, and he still knows more people than I do.
He's an amazing guy. Yep, he really is. He's a lot of fun to be with, and he's
because Dave cares about other people, Kevin.
Yeah. Oh, see, I keep missing out on that part of it.
He's not just absorbed in what, you know, like about number one.
That's a good point. I didn't really think about it that way.
Well, that was.
I mean, during the break, we have to hear about how high the Holy Cross press box is. What?
Hey, that's.
It's an FCS stadium. It can't be that high.
And it's 5 months away. He's already building it up. I don't know. Okay.
Actually, it is 5 months away.
Yeah, it is.
To make you feel better.
Yeah. Because that's what this program's all about.
Well, let's start the game at 11 o'clock, which means you're on the air at 10.
No. Okay? No. And then, no. That's not going to work. That's not going to work because that means I have to leave Lewisburg at 3 in the morning. I'm sorry, that's not going to work.
You leave right after your Shikellamy High School
I might as well
broadcast.
Not go to bed. Yeah, I might as well not go to bed.
Yep.
On November 15th, how late your season go?
I'm planning on a couple of playoff games myself.
For the Braves?
You know, yeah.
Okay.
You know, I don't know about you, but I'd like to see 2 weeks of playoff football.
Hey, can I put a personal plug in for a local sports team in the last minutes of the show here this afternoon?
Well, I guess if I said no now, it would look really bad.
Exactly. I got you where I want you.
I, of course, would say yes. Captain Negative.
Yeah. The Lewisburg High School Green Dragons boys lacrosse team made it to the final eight in the state this past weekend. They went down to Radnor High School. Or they played Radnor High School at Cumberland Valley. Got beat by a fair margin, but this is the first time a team from the Central Susquehanna Valley has actually won a playoff game and advanced to the final eight. So that's looking good for high school lacrosse in this area, and for the Green Dragons in particular. And one of my favorite players for that Green Dragons team is young Kyle Gardner, who graduates here in a couple days from Lewisburg High School, one of the top defenders. And Kyle had a great year, and he led their team into the state quarterfinals. So big shout-out to the Green Dragons and their boys lacrosse team.
Wonderful. And Kevin, by the way, revealed during the break previously that he is snubbing Derek Jeter and voted for some guy that's had no career.
I don't care.
Oh, it's Derek Jeter.
He voted for Ramirez at shortstop over Derek Jeter.
Yep.
Oh.
Not upset about it.
Is it too late to call the AP and get him to recount the votes?
Well, you know, look, we all have to live to a certain standard.
Yeah.
Just because I think, you know, as a Red Sox fan, the guy's a Hall of Famer and deserves the tribute. That's fine.
Yeah.
He, you know, he votes for a guy that's had two good months.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what it comes.
Yeah, two good months. All right, that's fine.
Yeah, I had two good months. Okay, now take two good months and multiply that times 20 years.
Yeah. Yep. I get to go see Derek play. I think August the 9th in Yankee Stadium. Looking forward to that. I got to see him last year. The first game he played when he came off injury and first at bat, old Derek popped one out of Yankee Stadium. For a home run in his first at bat. He's phenomenal.
You know what's interesting is that you say you're going to see him on whatever.
Yeah.
I will say this about the job that Joe Girardi's done. Joe Girardi has not done – he's done this, hey, look, if he's out, he's out. I'm not going to play him. And that's really important.
No question, but to be able to see a guy like Derek Jeter, who is, you know, he transcends not just the Yankees but all of Major League Baseball.
Right. That's exactly right. And that's the part that obviously
Kevin forgot.
Some people don't get.
Yes. No, no question. He's an amazing player.
He's had an amazing career.
Yeah.
Kevin, of course, does not like to recognize careers.
Nope, not an All-Star game.
Kevin, it's the All-Star game.
Yeah, for heaven's sakes.
It doesn't matter.
Listen, I have my standards, and I stick to them. It may not be popular, but they're mine.
Newsflash.
Okay.
Yep.
Say, for example, Ramirez starts the All-Star game, and Jeter's not selected.
He can come in as an honorable mention.
No
is right.
No, it doesn't work that way.
I stand behind my beliefs.
We got to get all the Steve Jones listeners to start voting Derek Jeter just to override Kevin's vote for Ramirez.
They don't have to. They're already voting in droves.